Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com. Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
And welcome to Wrestle Culture. Dun, 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 dun. The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and the bees. I want wrestling. That's what I want. That's what I want. That's hello, I'm Adam Wilmore from What Culture. Admit it, you've missed me. Joined by Phil Chambers and Adam Nicholas from What Culture Talk About all the goings on in wrestling this week and look ahead to Money in the Bank this weekend. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to the What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcast from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we review Raw, SmackDown, NXT, AEW Dynamite, pay-per-views. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week, complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture. As I said, though, joined by Phil and Nicholas to look ahead to Money in the Bank. The gang is back together, gents. Great to see you all.
It's been a while, yes, as well. And you've had 2 weeks off from Wrestle Culture now, and that's the best that you could do for the song.
Disgraceful. All this time he's had to prep, and that's what he's come up with.
Who's the band? Who did it? Flying Lizards.
Who's the band?
He's the band. He doesn't even know.
Here's the gimmick.
Yeah, it was the Flying Lizards. Phil, what's your second favourite Flying Lizards song apart from the funny one?
Yeah, the one about lizards. I assume they've done a song about lizards. They must have.
Yeah, I prefer Summertime Blues, their cover version of Summertime Blues.
Tell you what, I've missed this, you Googling during podcast.
Yeah, it's good. I forgot how to fill podcast there. Just Google stuff in the middle of a podcast.
The radio host. Yeah. Let's go look at him typing.
Let's go and explore The Rock's filmography again. Let's do that.
Oh, it's been a while, hasn't it? I've probably added a few more in the time I've been off. But Phil, thank you to you and the Dadleys for taking care of Wrestle Culture for the past few weeks. But we are here, gents. Money in the Bank is this weekend. SmackDown is tonight. Well, most importantly, Phil, fans are back.
Yay, no more Thunderdome. It was fine, wasn't it, as a stopgap, but it's very good to get rid of that goddamn thing. Interested to see what a WWE crowd is actually going to sound like properly. We've heard at a couple of weeks of incredibly hot AEW crowds. Mm. Not entirely sure they're going to muster up the same amount of enthusiasm for WWE.
I don't know. I feel like, you know, WrestleMania, obviously we had WrestleMania for WWE crowds, but that's WrestleMania.
Yeah.
But I do feel like, I mean, certainly I saw WWE Live was coming to Newcastle in September, in theory at least, Delta variant allowing. And I thought, do you know what? I really want to go and see that. So maybe they'll take bloody anything right now, Nicholas.
Maybe. I mean, quite possibly. I think everybody's going to be just super stoked to be there. Although I do firmly believe, and you can tell us more about this, but this idea that you're just going to turn up and the show is just suddenly going to be good.
Yeah.
Is a real dangerous idea. It's like, it's not going to be the fix, but I tell you what, it will be great to have fans back. And, you know, some of the moments that happened on Dynamite the other night, like, were just made so much better by the massive, massive reactions that came from the fans.
Yeah, it is great to just have that rather than pop.wav that we've been stuck with for so long. And we had tastes of it, like I said, at WrestleMania, but that was very much just a little taste. Now it feels back full time. Again, for now at least, because you don't make me go back. But I do think that you know, it's not all plain sailing COVID is not quite over, despite what many people in government would like you to think. But yeah, I did get very giddy, Nicholas. We recorded the sort of extended preview of Money in the Bank that me and Hamflet did, which is going to be coming out tomorrow. You can probably tell we recorded it on Thursday because I picked Sonia Deville to win the women's ladder match. News hadn't broken by the time we recorded that quite clearly. But I was, yeah, getting jazzed about not just Money in the Bank, but the fallout from that, and obviously the road to SummerSlam off the back of it. And like you guys say, just getting into it with fans every single week at Raw and SmackDown, and obviously, as you said, Phil, AEW Dynamite. It's such an exciting time. How are you feeling about Money in the Bank, Phil? More importantly than any of that bollocks, how are you feeling about getting back into the office to do a live stream together? Phil and I will be doing the live stream on Money in the Bank on Sunday night on our YouTube channel from the What Culture office. I'm so excited, Phil.
Screw crowds being back. This is the return everybody wanted. Us back in the bloody office. It's going to be very good fun. And as it stands, it's only like 6 matches long or something. Oh. So I'm hoping for another one of those nice short little fun WWE pay-per-views. Crowds are back. It's going to be good fun.
Yeah. Six Surely. Matches Come more than on. Enough. I don't know what they'd hoy on, but they will find something. They'll chuck on an IC title or a US title match or whatever. But I hope they don't. I think it's a nicely balanced card right now. It's like 2 title matches, 2 Money in the Bank matches, and 2 matches I couldn't give a toss about. But let's start with the Money in the Bank matches. And then let's start, Phil, with the women's Money in the Bank ladder match because,
ain't nobody meaner than Tamina.
Earlier on today, I was recording the SmackDown preview with Sidgwick, and I presumably with all the, you know, the rumors about Goldberg and Becky Lynch and all that we were covering today on the news, I genuinely just hadn't seen it. Like last night, my Twitter timeline was dominated by people talking about AEW hitting a million for Dynamite. Missed this story completely. Yes, Tamina is the 8th person, not Sonya Deville. Apologies in advance for our preview tomorrow, but I mean, Hamflet's prediction still stands, so that's all good. So you've got Asuka, Naomi. Hang on, I'm just going to unplug this. Alexa Bliss, Nikki Ash, Liv Morgan, Zelina Vega, Natalya, and Tamina making up the numbers. Phil, who's your money on?
I don't know with this one. It's quite a tough pick. I say they've been building up Liv Morgan. They've been allowing Liv Morgan to win the odd match on SmackDown, which is way more than they've done for the last year. So, like, it feels like they're putting a lot of focus on her, but is that just going to be, like, a weird little SmackDown story that gets forgotten as soon as Money in the Bank's finished and Alexa Bliss wins? I think it's going to be one of those two. I can see it being Alexa Bliss, honestly, and her theming the Money in the Bank briefcase into some little jack-in-the-box thing and it going up on WWEshop.com and there being new toys of it. I can see it happening. I'm going to go with Alexa Bliss for this one. Even though there ain't nobody meaner than Tamina.
Yeah,
I love this Tamina thing, by the way. Like on SmackDown, like finally they're debuting some new women on that roster that is incredibly lacking in women. So you get Shotzi Blackheart, sorry, Shotzi, you get Tegan Knox, sorry, Tegan, no, wait, no, just Knox, that's the one.
Yeah.
And you get like Zelina Vega's back, they're announcing Toni Storm is coming up at some point soon. Who do they put in Money in the Bank? The tag team champion, Tamina.
They tried to sort of crowbar the execution, didn't they? Of like, well, Natalya's in because she wants to be Kenny Omega of WWE and hold all the women's belts. And I was like, oh, okay. I mean, she's a solid, she still can't put on a sharpshooter, but she's a solid hand and fine. I'll, you know, at least you're still there going, well, it could be anyone. I mean, it's not going to be you, Naomi. I'm sorry. I love you. I wish it was, but it's not going to be you. It's not going to be Natalya, but you know, the rest of them, possibly. And then it's Tamina. It's Tamina. Your
see
pick?
Why they did this announcement for Tamina though, because people were getting a little bit excited about Becky Lynch or Sasha Banks returning. Then WWE were like, "Oh my god, it's going to be Tamina! Let's just announce it and get it out of the way."
Is Tamina your pick, Adam Nicholas?
First of all, Phil, what are you saying that another wrestling company might have overhyped a surprise of some sort? Is that what you're getting at? And maybe. Companies are learning from that. I don't know. Who would know? Almost have got years of experience in this department. Yeah, obviously my pick's Tamina as well. It was a no-brainer the second she was put in the match. Nobody is meaner or keener but not so much greener anymore. Seems like she's, you know, she's getting there. No, I don't think that wouldn't be my personal pick. I've got two that I think it could be, because I think it would make sense. So this, you've got to understand, well, it'll make sense if they do Liv Morgan won it, because I feel like whether they want to admit it or not, there's something there, isn't that? Like, there is definitely something there. It's tangible. Like, people like Liv Morgan, and she's got the support, and it would be great, which is probably why they're not going to do it. But I do think they could use that to their advantage. If it was me, there's a lot of people in there, I think you're right, it could be. Alexa, I don't really want to even entertain this idea, because it probably is going to be here. But for me, let's ignore that. It's too soon, for Nikki Ash to be getting something in that department yet. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to rule the tag team champions out for now, because I don't really want to entertain that either. Naomi would be great. It's not going to happen, you're right. I feel like she's just overlooked all the time, and I don't think it would almost feel like an empty gesture at this point after all the sort of build-up. And I know she had a lot of negativity going on social media and stuff. I still don't feel like this is... I feel like she should be better off leaving the company personally, but that's a whole other kettle of fish. I think it might be Zelina Vega.
Yes!
And I'll tell you why, because I think with her coming back, I know she came back and like got beat straight away. But what I actually think, though, is use the Liv Morgan thing. Everybody wants it to be Liv. Do... like essentially like something that The Miz would do. Liv Morgan is just about to win it, the whole thing, and Zelina nips in and steals it and grabs it. And she's like, because that would just be perfect for her character. The promo shit it could, her in the briefcase, feel like a good match. Which is mad that I'm not even speaking about Asuka, because it's Asuka. Asuka's in there. But that would be my choice, I think. Zelina Vega to like screw Liv out of winning it if they're not going to go with Liv.
Yeah, I'm with both of you in terms of it's probably going to be Alexa. But, God, I would have loved it to have been Sonya Deville. She'd insert herself into that. The storyline's just spread out in front of me for that one. But if it's not going to be her, Liv Morgan would be great. But I'm agreeing with you, Nicholas. I think Zelina Vega could be a great one. And also, it could be, you know, not to get too inside baseball, it could be a political thing of like, oh, we want you to come back. Well, if I'm back, I'm getting a briefcase sort of thing.
And that was one of my thinkings as well, because like at the end of the day, having her lose so early on just felt like a weird step initially. Mm. So like almost lose our momentum and then be like, you didn't see us coming, did you?
Yeah.
Lose and then not be on TV the next week.
Hey, you remember that new person who's back? Not anymore.
Yeah, it's a thing of also maybe going, well, let's get you used to being the Money in the Bank briefcase holder and have you lose, because that's what always happens with them.
Although, can I just say, when Phil was talking about Alexa Bliss's briefcase, one scenario I will accept, Alexa wins and Bray is just her personal briefcase carrier. That's his job. Like, that's it. He doesn't do anything else. He just carries a briefcase everywhere, like a little minion. She clicks her fingers. And he tootles out all like worn.
Like
down
he has the lantern of his own head, but the briefcase instead.
With the briefcase. Here you are, master. Here's the briefcase.
Nicholas, in terms of the men's side of things, then we've got Ricochet, John Morrison, Riddle, Drew McIntyre, Big E, Kevin Owens, Kingsley Nakamura, and Colby, Seth Rollins. Is it happening? Am I getting too far ahead of myself in thinking that everyone's best friend genuinely has a shot at this?
Everyone's best friend is in Big E, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say. That would be that's the person I want. I think it makes sense. This is the Liv Morgan thing again. It makes sense. This is the story that would arguably work perfectly in this. Yes, I know people say you might want a heel carrying your briefcases, but you know, have a heel win the women's briefcase, have a face win the men's briefcase. Big E would be definitely my pick. Although, out of all the other ones, there's a whole bunch of reasons, I guess, down the line. Owens, I'm just not so sure the one that they're going to put it on him. Basically, everybody else in there, I feel like, has something going on. King Nakamura, essentially, is going to have like the whole King thing going on. He doesn't need the briefcase, let's be honest. Him and Boogs have got it all going on. They're having a great time. Why do I get this strange feeling, like, despite the fact he's been involved in far too many things, they're going to put it on Drew? I don't know why. And then have Drew go and challenge, because he obviously can't challenge Bobby. Like, it just feels like that would be something they'd be interested in, despite the fact that Drew's kind of felt a bit entitled inadvertently. Not his fault, of course, just the way he's been booked.
Yeah, obviously he's in the whole, you know, can't challenge for the title anymore, et cetera, thing, right? But did you see on Raw this week, it was basically preceded by them saying, well, this is what's going to happen tonight. They announced or they revealed on WWE Shop, a new toy. It's Drew McIntyre with a motorbike he could smash up. And then you'll never guess what he did on Raw. He smashed up Jinder Mahal's motorbike. So yeah, he's clearly front and center in their, you know, thoughts with regards to that. I really hope it's not Drew. I love Drew, like you say, but I think that he'd get the air of Roman from a few years through no fault of his own again, a bit like Roman, through no fault of his own, the company, like, this is the guy you have to like. It feels like, it's, I'll tell you what it is. It's weird, this, Phil, in terms of how little heels there are in this match. It's what, but John Morrison and Seth Rollins, effectively, both of whom you think, well, they're not winning it. Seth is probably going off to do Edge stuff with him at SummerSlam, and Morrison's doing moist stuff, I suppose, at the moment. So it's probably not going to be him. Who's your pick, Phil?
Well, I think whoever wins this, you can't put them up against Roman Reigns at some point, because you can't keep having Money in the Bank briefcase people lose, and you can't let Roman Reigns lose this sort of iconic reign that he's built up since he returned from a Money in the Bank briefcase cash-in. That's just, surely you want to give someone the proper rub of actually beating him on a big stage at a pay-per-view. So you've got to move someone over to Raw to do it. So I don't think Kevin Owens is really doing anything in this at the minute. Like, he's been a bit lost in storylines, I guess. They had the Sammy versus Kevin Owens stuff that they came back to, but then he had all that thing about him going away for a bit, and then he like went for 2 weeks, and then he was all of a sudden back doing Last Man Standing matches on SmackDown inexplicably. So I don't think it's him. John Morrison, yeah, right. Ricochet, yeah, right. Seth Rollins, like you say, Edge stuff. Nakamura has his own King stuff going on. Drew isn't the right character to do this with, I don't think. And the whole Bobby Lashley stuff, it just clouds it. I think he's just been, I hope he's just been thrown in there as a bit of a red herring. Riddle, though, they have been pushing Riddle quite a lot recently. They love breaking up tag teams. It'd be a really interesting, well, I say interesting, it would, in WWE's eyes, it would be a really interesting way of putting in the sort of friction between Randy Orton and Matt Riddle, because Randy Orton sees him as like he's gonna be the next champion and things, and gets jealous or whatever, and then turns on him, because they love doing that kind of thing. So that's always in the back of my mind of like, oh, they might just go the Riddle route, and they do, like, he's got a hell of a focus on him on Raw at the minute. But for me, it just has to be Big E. Like, surely you can't put him against Roman Reigns, that doesn't fit. But if there was talks of him moving over at some point during the draft and going back with the New Day, and having them all on Raw, like not necessarily doing tag team stuff, but just having them back together. So Big E wins it, moves over to Raw with the briefcase to challenge Bobby Lashley, which in itself would be a really, really good fun match. And then beats Bobby Lashley at some point. And the New Day are all done. And you kind of do Kofi Mania 2.0, but this time with Big E on everyone's shoulders. And it's just a big happy moment of the New Day, A, being back together, and Big E being the champ, and everybody's happy. Except for us, probably, when it doesn't happen.
I think we're all in unanimous agreement that we'd love it to be Big E. And the one thing that maybe puts a bit of a spanner in your plans, Phil, is 4:20 next year is a Wednesday, so no TV that night. Otherwise, they could sell Riddle with his briefcase that every time you open it, smoke comes out. Well, let's deal with the title matches. I want to debate with you guys about potential surprise return, so it'll probably link into some of this. You mentioned, Phil, Bobby Lashley versus Kofi Kingston. I tell you what, I moan about Raw on a more than once a week basis, but they've done a hell of a job building to this match and sowing a bit of doubt in people's minds that Kofi's genuinely got a shot here.
Yeah, totally. Like Xavier, okay, it was a surprise roll-up and he kind of got annihilated for most of the match, but he got the win in it. And yeah, it's kind of been one of those storylines that just kind of come out of nowhere, but actually been kind of entertaining, and probably just because of the amount of talent that's involved in it with New Day and Hurt Business stuff. But I am quite enjoying it. And like I say, with the Big E tie-in, it just all fits in. Like everyone in the New Day kind of gets their shot. And then at the end of it, Big E comes in to save the day and defeat the evil psychopath Bobby Lashley. It just fits. Just do it. Just do it. Please just do it. But yeah, Bobby Lashley's going to win 100%.
Or
hello.
You forget who you're dealing with, yeah, Phil. This is WWE. Like, what do they love doing? They love destroying things.
Don't do it.
They love it. They absolutely love destroying things. I'm not saying it's gonna happen. Because I believe wholeheartedly that Bobby Lashley is gonna win this match. But what if Kofi Kingston wins this match? Right? Because by the way, I think the stuff they've done with the New Day and Bobby has been great. I really do. I think like they've managed to make something feel super fresh. That like arguably on a show where nothing really these days feels super fresh. But wouldn't it just be fascinating? Like, I think that would genuinely be fascinating. Like, Big E finally gets the chance, but there'd have to be a reason why he wouldn't pick Roman. Do you know what I mean? I don't know what that jigsaw piece is, because like, why would he have to just go? But let's assume that for some reason he can't go after Roman, and he's like, he gets his shot, but his shot has to be against Kofi Kingston. Like, that's amazing. Come on, that's a good story. And as well in there, because you've got like Xavier Woods, he'll be like, maybe wants a shout on it. I don't know how you get there, but wouldn't it be great to see a triple threat between those three for the championship? Man, God, why have I just said it out loud?
I mean, I'm hopeful for anything to get Xavier Woods into the title picture. I'm not sure if that is the sacrificial lamb I want to go for. But yeah, the idea of, I mean, you've got like two, three pay-per-view matches straight off the back of, like, let's say Big E cashes in on the night. Kofi just wins and then gets murdered by Bobby Lashley after the bell. Big E just strolls out, jiggling down. Here we go. We're going to ruin all your dreams. Cashes in. 1, 2, 3. Then you've got the rematch. Then you've got the rematch with Xavier Woods as a special guest referee with divided loyalties. And then you've got, like you say, the triple threat. Phil, I hate it, but it's really good booking, that, isn't it?
I think they'd have to do it right. I mean, if anyone can do that, the New Day will have surely fantasy booked this in their own minds at some point. But they've always said that they don't want to like split up just for the sake of splitting it up and having that match. They want to like stick together and just be the team that always sticks together. There has to be a way of them somehow still being friends throughout all of this. Like, you can seed little doubt and things that, oh God, maybe someone's going to turn. But like at the end of it, like, they still have to be friends. That's all I want. It's when it's over with, they still have to be friends.
Oh, but what about the visual image, Phil? What about the visual image of Big E who comes running down the ring to celebrate with Kofi, because they're like, I've won the briefcase and you've won the thing. And Xavier's like, and I'm here too. And I've got a great YouTube channel. And they're all running around together. And everyone's like, this is amazing. What a great moment this is. Like, what a picture. You know, he's got the briefcase. He's got the thing. Maybe he's got Kofi on the shoulders. And then he's like, yeah. And Xavier's on the floor posing like that. And then Big E just does the old boom, drops Kofi, smashes the briefcase over Xavier Woods' head. And then, like, he's looking at them both. Everyone's going mad because it's a live crowd. They're going absolutely crazy. What's happening? How is this happening? And Big E's like, dominating, destroys Xavier Woods to keep him out of the way. And then pins Kofi. And we're all sad for weeks on end.
Phil, I don't know about you, but I'm getting flashbacks to Too Cool in the Royal Rumble, where it was all going so well.
I should point out, I hope that doesn't happen, but it is quite tasty, isn't it?
Yeah, please God, no.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at UH1.com.
Right, let's talk about some of the other matches on this card and, well, what could well be the main event, Adam Nicholas, the match everyone's looking forward to. Rhea Ripley and Charlotte Flair. Bothered about this?
No. Not at all. No, I'm genuinely, I don't really know what to make of this anymore. I just feel really bad for Rhea Ripley is what I feel at the moment. Like, I don't know. I feel like, because she should totally win this one. Like, she should totally win, and she should win it. Like, straight up, there shouldn't be any messing, should there? And that's still going to be something that's going to, like, take a little bit more credibility away from her that she's already lost. Yeah, this is a match that's happening. Rhea should win, in my opinion. That's all I've got to say.
Are you more bothered about the rumours about who could well be backstage on Sunday night?
No. All right, yeah, they are probably a little bit more interesting, in fairness.
Like, do you think we're going to... Let's talk briefly about surprise returns. Do you think we're going to get a Becky Lynch or a, you know, I think Goldberg, the rumour about Goldberg relates maybe to Monday, but do you think we could get something surprising on Sunday with one of them or someone else?
Potentially. It's just you... Do they want to, you know, do they want to sort of blow it all on that one show? Like, that's your dilemma, I guess. But, I mean, you know, with a Becky, someone like a Becky backstage, there's always going to be something interesting. That's just, I kind of hope they don't waste that on this match. Like, as the reason why there's no finish because Becky comes out or something. I don't know what, but that sounds very them, doesn't it? I hope that doesn't happen. And I hope they just don't put too much into this show because, you know, it's only night one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a marathon, not a sprint, I believe someone once said. Phil, Rhea should win this, but I do have a bit of doubt, like Nicholas, that it's WWE and they go, put it on Charlotte.
Rhea really, really should win this.
Needs to.
Again, needs to win this. None of this feud has made any sense. Like, I'm only rooting for Rhea because it's kind of the logical thing to do. I'm not rooting for Rhea because I like Rhea in this character, like, at all. They've not given me anything to like. I don't understand how they're expecting, like, fans to react to this match on the first pay-per-view with, like, live crowd back. Like, you've not given us a strong babyface and a heel. You've just given us two whiny heels, I guess.
Somehow worse than what they did with her and Asuka, wasn't it? Because at least with her and Asuka, you were like, oh, I kind of like both of these. I'd like that. Not even given any story here, but here it is. They're both detestable going to this.
At least if they do bring Becky Lynch back on this one, like, just let her, like, ring the bell and then Becky Lynch's music hits. She comes down and beats up both of them. Like, don't bother with the match at all. We don't really need it. We've seen it before. Just have it ding, ding, ding. Oh! She comes out. She beats the crap out of both of them. The whole crowd goes absolutely nuts. She holds the belt up high, chucks it down on the floor, wanders off as the man. Sorted. And then you've got two heels that Becky Lynch can face in upcoming events.
That actually would that would make a genuinely really good match in terms of, right, all you have to do then is go, Charlotte is the heel, Becky is the babyface, and Rhea Ripley, as they are, trying to present her as, is a tweener. But as of right now, it's just like, I'd do a chop block on you. It's like, I don't care about any of this. I'm desperate, like you say, Phil. I'm desperate. They've somehow booked her worse than they did in 2020. When this,
you know what? In their defense, though, it's not like they've got a really great narrative that already exists between the both. They can play off, is it? They're having to make this up as they go along because they've got nothing to work with. I mean, you and I, Adam, we both watch UFC and they stole their template from WWE, who are really good at making video packages when you've got a story to tell from pre-existing footage and narratives and matches. So the UFC are doing that really well because that's what they do. They'll sell a match based on the fact that literally, oh my God, this video package does itself. And here we are. We have it all in the locker and we just like, nah, why would we want to do that?
Or
that's
silly. as you point out, Phil, maybe they will. Maybe on Sunday night, they'll go the storied rivalry between these two, and I'll forget Charlotte Flair took the title off Rhea Ripley. And then I'll be going, you'll be sat there like you did the other time. Still going, wait a second, what was all the beat the clock stuff? You're just not mentioning that now. So they'll just not mention
what's rewrite happening. History and, oh, look at this great story we told. They did it with Sasha versus Bianca. They've done it with quite a lot of things recently. Yeah, just rewrite history and everyone will just remember the video package because that's how WWE thinks we work.
How are you feeling about surprise returns this weekend, Phil? Like, I'm giddy enough as is, let alone hearing, you know, rumours of Becky Lynch and, you know, Cena and Goldberg, not necessarily, you know, obviously on Sunday night, but just feel like they're going to start pulling the trigger on quite a few of these over the next few days and weeks.
Yeah, they've definitely got to do a few leading into SummerSlam. I mean, but they've already pretty much sold out SummerSlam as well, just on the basis of it being SummerSlam. But you've got, like, Sasha Banks at some point has got to return in there as well, like maybe on Friday, well, tonight on SmackDown. I think they definitely need to trickle them. Like, let's not just go mad and chuck them all out at once, which I could also see them doing. But I don't know about at the pay-per-view. Like, I don't know why. I'm just getting a feeling. Like I think it may be the Tamina announcement that was the one spot that, oh, they could have done something fun with on the show. And now they're just like, oh, no, it's just Tamina. And now I've got a feeling they're just going to have it as a straight pay-per-view and then start doing the things in the build-up to SummerSlam once they've got this out of the way. But I don't know why.
Yeah, in fairness to WWE, like you say, as much as I'd love to see Becky Lynch come out and confront, you know, the winner of the Raw Women's Championship match or Goldberg or Brock or whoever it may be, you know, in the WWE Championship picture, or Cena, you know, after Roman maybe beats Edge. We'll talk about that in a second. In fairness to them, I think Money in the Bank sells itself. If I was not doing this as a job, I would 100% be going, I'm staying up and watching Money in the Bank, and I don't need the tease of Becky Lynch being backstage or anything like that, because I love Money in the Bank. And even if this wasn't the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, if this was bloody, not Hell in a Cell, because that's dreadful, but like Fastlane, for example, I'd be like, I don't care, fans are there, and yeah, fantastic, I'll watch it regardless. So, yeah. And sort of a part of that, the giddiness, is I don't really know what they're doing with AJ Styles, Omos, and the Viking Raiders, Phil. Like, I assume they're going AJ Styles and Omos to retain the titles and then maybe at SummerSlam have RK-Bro face them. But then, like you say, Riddle could win the briefcase. That puts it all up in the air.
Yeah, the RK-Bro thing seems like the most logical route to go with. But they've done very little with AJ and Omos as the tag champs since they got it. And I don't know why. Like, they're really, really good and entertaining. And like, even when they first won it, they weren't on TV for like 2 or 3 weeks or something before, like after Mania. And I don't know what they've been doing other than WWE hates tag teams is the only like logical thing that I can think of. And now the Viking Raiders are back and kind of been thrown into this out of nowhere, which doesn't make any sense. I'm assuming it's going to be a really good fun match because the Viking Raiders are absolutely brilliant. AJ Styles is AJ Styles and Omos is going to do something cool because he always does. They seem to have booked him quite well so far. But it just seems to have come out of nowhere and there's no real logical storyline to it. And it's just they felt the need to have an AJ Styles match on the card and that's kind of why it's there.
This isn't on the card, is it, if Bayley doesn't get injured? Because Bayley gets injured, they make that match with Carmella for Friday night, and then they go, oh, bollocks, we need another match on the card, right? That match that was going to go on Monday, because I think they alluded to that in the taped Raw. And then they said,
that is probably why, actually.
On Sunday, that's what it was. So I think it's a relatively straightforward title defense. But regardless, there's going to be some mad old spots in there with Big Jordan, the Viking Raiders.
Yeah, it's good to have the Viking Raiders back. We love the Viking Raiders here as well. Another tick for the WCPW counter as well.
Yeah. Any doubts about the result, Nicholas?
No, I feel like it should be Styles and Omos. Like you say, it's weird because the RK-Bro stuff, it feels like if they were in this match, like if they were the ones, then I would maybe say a change would be happening because that would be a switch you could see happen. But you just wonder if they might do that later down the line. But I feel like the Viking Raiders are like good enough to be the champs. It's just the timing seems to be not like that. It's just not on their side at the moment, is it?
No, exactly. Right. Let's conclude with a match that, I mean, if it's not one in the bank, this will be the main event of the night. You sense it probably will be, actually. Roman Reigns, Adam Nicholas versus Edge. One on one. Could he do it? Could Edge become Universal Champion? I'm asking you because if anyone thinks he can, it's you, I assume.
You would be incorrect. I will never, ever, ever turn down Edge winning anything big, ever. Even if it was a raffle, I'd be up for him. But I think this would be weird for them to do it now. It would be very strange. As I think it was Phil alluded to earlier, like, this feels like when Roman does finally lose this belt, it's going to have to be monumentally big. And I love Edge. And it would be monumentally big for me. I don't know if it would be monumentally big for everybody else in the way, perhaps, that maybe the thought of it. This is Money in the Bank pay-per-view, just out of curiosity, where is it actually on at? What's the place that it's on at? Is it in Houston? Or am I making that up? Or is that SmackDown that's on in Houston?
Fort Worth, Texas.
Texas.
The Dickies Arena.
Did Edge not fire out a tweet or something about how, was that not where the Rumble was or something like that in 2020? Now, because you know how WWE likes this kind of stuff, and Edge likes poetic stuff as well, doesn't he? Like, he's big into, like, everything tying together, man, because it's all about the energy. Like, so wouldn't it be interesting if they were like, oh, it's the same place as the Rumble, where he came back, where he got that insane, massive pop. Why don't we just get another insane, massive pop for Edge? I don't think they should do that, but I will not be upset if they decide to do that, put it that way.
Any chance, Phil?
No. Not at all. It's Roman Reigns, and it has to be Roman Reigns. Yeah. I do worry that there is a chance of shenanigans happening and Seth Rollins coming out and interrupting at some point. And I know we've kind of booked shenanigans for every match other than the AJ Styles and Omos one so far. But it is WWE, so we're just going by what we know. But they've got to set up the Seth Rollins thing. Somehow they had that really nice little moment on SmackDown, obviously. But whether Seth does something on the SmackDown after Money in the Bank or tonight or on the pay-per-view itself is what I'm mainly worrying about. I think AJ, right, I mean, Roman Reigns has already pretty decisively beaten Edge, let's say, at WrestleMania.
So I guess
he could get away with a bit of shenanigans in this one.
However, you've put sort of like a little something into my head here. What if Seth wins the Money in the Bank and cashes in on this match tonight? And then Edge doesn't win and he's pissed off again that someone else did a triple threat on him when he had a chance for the title shot. That would make sense, wouldn't it? Because that was his biggest gripe with Bryan, was that he inserted himself in the match at Mania. So Edge didn't have his singles match with Roman. Imagine if Rollins denies him again. Roman still wins, though, because it's Roman.
It's Roman.
Money in the Bank briefcase gone, and then Edge and Rollins have a match at SummerSlam as a result.
If Rollins did his thing like he did at Mania, where he turns it into a triple threat match towards the end of the match, but then Roman pins Edge.
Yes.
You get away
Rollins
with Seth
just gets
being
tripped
like,
out the equation.
Oh, sorry. But that is what he would be thinking in that moment. I do kind of like that. Although you're booking another Money in the Bank person to lose, and you've done that quite a lot, but
yeah.
So long as you don't do it with both briefcases.
Yeah.
Not with both briefcases.
Go 50-50, but with the briefcases are the most WWE thing ever. I've got to agree with you on that. I think Roman Reigns is retaining. I have a pretty wild suggestion for the conclusion to that match, but if you want to know what that is, you're going to have to listen to the extended preview of our Money in the Bank predictions preview podcast thing with me and Michael Hamflett tomorrow. It gets better. I know I said Sonya Deville's going to win all this Money in the Bank ladder match. At least I haven't booked Sami Zayn to win this one, as much as I would like him to. But make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling. That'll be out tomorrow. And let us know your thoughts and predictions for Money in the Bank on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. But enough of all this. It's now time for a Bloody Good Quiz. And this week's quiz is brought to you by Dundee Ben. Dundee Ben? Dundee Ben. Not sure. Anyway, if you want your name associated with the hashtag Bloody Good Quiz, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on iTunes. Leave us a 5-star review, and I'll mention you along with this week's quiz, which this week is, of course, about Money in the Bank. Dundee Ben writes, when the description of the podcast is Adam and Michael, I have no idea how the podcast will go. Both Michaels are truly great for their own very different reasons. I appreciate the work you do. Don't always agree with Cedric. Well, I enjoy his animated opinions and often witty takes. I find Hamblet provides great insight, especially with AEW. Often agree with his opinions, both positive and negative, and reassuring when I haven't liked a segment to hear someone else didn't like it and it wasn't that it just went over my head. Overall, most importantly, all the guys on the podcast, Adam, the Dadley Boys, and others seem like really decent guys and enjoy hearing them talk about wrestling and their insights. Keep up the good work. Thank you, Ben. We will continue to do that sort of thing. By the way, if you want more of Sidgwick and his takes, we've got a podcast coming out on Sunday this week all about when AEW will surpass WWE. Really interesting chat about the forthcoming few months for both companies, because goodness knows what's going to happen. But gents, Phil, by the way, thank you for taking care of the quiz for the last couple of weeks. I very much enjoyed the
It was good fun.
The Dadleys head to head last week. How well do they know each other? Some of the WWE magazine stuff. Hey, chicks can act. Right, that's not me. Who said that? Stone Cold.
Stone Cold said that back in 1997.
Yeah. I mean, it really was gimmick by numbers for some of them, wasn't it? How can I talk about my cack as part of answering these questions? Thanks, Valvinus. Good work, mate.
Loved it. Absolutely loved those personality profiles. They are incredible.
Yeah.
This better be a big, good quiz, by the way. You've had 2 weeks to write this now.
Well, it's 10 questions, multiple choice, shiny name, wait for me to come to you. It's all about Money in the Bank. But as it is about Money in the Bank, I thought I'd just sprinkle something a little bit different here. On one of your questions, you can choose to activate Money in the Bank. And I will get rid of two incorrect answers, giving you a 50-50 shot. Because as we know, Money in the Bank, you know, helps, but it could also be, you could be bloody Damian Sandow. You could mess it up on the grand stage. If you get it wrong, the point will obviously automatically go to your opponent. You can use that on one question each. Do you both understand? And are you both ready for this week's bloody good quiz?
Yes.
Yes, although okay. That is a very, very generous interpretation of Money in the Bank. There we go. That'll work.
Question number one. You probably don't want to use your cash in on this one. Question number one. What is
Do we do that when you have to do your once you've heard the question answers?
Yeah, you don't have to wait. It's not like activating your joker before a round in a quiz. Just once, if you've shouted your name, if I come to you first, you can say, I'd like to use my cash in at that point.
Okay.
Question one. What is the Money in the Bank cash in percentage success rate? Is it 83%, 85%, 87%, or 89%?
Nicholas. 85.
It's not 85. I'll pass it over, Phil.
That's what I was going to say, too. I'll go 83, then.
It is 83%.
Nice.
Some been iffy track record in there. Let's hopefully get some back on track, as we said, this year. Question number two. Who did Edge knock off the ladder before claiming the first Money in the Bank briefcase? Was it Kane, Christian, Chris Jericho, or Chris Benoit?
Phil.
I should know this.
You should. Is it Jericho?
It's not Jericho.
I'll tell you what, I thought it was Jericho. That was going to be my answer. Come on, brain. Christian feels poetic, but maybe he wasn't ready for it, Christian. Who was your options? Benoit and
Kane, Christian, or Chris Benoit?
I'll go for Benoit, please.
It was Chris Benoit who'd, I think he just knocked Kane off and then he got twatted with a chair by Edge. Up he goes. The really crap-looking leather briefcase up there. Not all branded back then. It was just a sodden briefcase. Who's got a briefcase? Do we need to bring a briefcase? Oh, bollocks. You Steve's. Right, one each after two questions. Okay, question number three. Carmella holds the record for longest time with the briefcase. I'm not including The Miz because it's like combining The Miz and Otis is too much for my brain, basically. So how long did she hold it for? Was it 267 days, 273 days, 280 days, or 287 days?
Phil. Nicholas, go on, Phil, you have it.
273.
It's not 273. I will pass it over to Adam Nicholas.
What was C and D? What were they?
280 or 287?
Ooh, brother. I'll go for 280, please.
It's not 280. It is, in fact, 287 days. Dolph Ziggler held it for 267 days. Edge held it for 280 days. And Seth Rollins held it for 273 days. Carmella held it for 287 days. Question.
They're like getting that money's worth out of that briefcase, don't they?
Ooh, yeah, man.
Question number four. Who won the first Money in the Bank match held at the Money in the Bank pay-per-view? Was it Daniel Bryan, The Miz, Kane, or Jack Swagger?
Well, I had an answer in my head there, and it's none of those.
Phil.
Who was? Oh, go on.
The Miz.
It's not The Miz, Phil.
So the other three options are Swagger, Bryan, or...
Kane.
Oh. Swagger.
It's not Jack Swagger.
Oh.
I can tell you The Miz did win Money in the Bank at the first Money in the Bank pay-per-view, but he won it after Kane had won it in the opening match of the night and then cashed it in like 2 minutes later when Rey Mysterio won. So, after four, it is still one each. Question five.
We is experts.
What did respected website whatculture.com rank as the worst Money in the Bank cash-in? Was it Baron Corbin, Jack Swagger, Damian Sandow, or Brock Lesnar?
Nicholas. Gotta be Baron Corbin. Gotta be.
It is Baron Corbin. Yes. I mean, they're all... I mean, Jack's a bit harsh on Jack Swagger. Like,
It's just unfortunate his, wasn't it? It was like one of those things. This is something I always think about. Climbing ladders and doing stuff like that. They never, like, not... Well, 9 times out of 10, don't get a massive chance to rehearse those things, do they? So you're going up thinking like, I'll just unclip this. It'll be really easy. And you get there. And it's just like, I can't do it. You got to cash it in afterwards.
Shout out to Darren Hyland, who wrote this article at the end of last year. Number 10, worst cash-ins, Daniel Bryan at TLC 2011. Okay. Number 9, yep, agree with this. Me and, I think me and Nicholas sat through this. Braun Strowman, Hell in a Cell, 2018.
Oh, possibly, yeah. I've just realised I was going on about Swagger's winning of the briefcase.
That was bad enough. That was
completely unrelated, yeah.
That was a harbinger of things to come, though. Yeah, Braun Strowman, because that was a cash-in in advance, wasn't it? And Brock just came down and murdered them both, and everyone went, thanks for coming, goodbye. And we were like, sorry, is that finished? Is that the end of the show? 8, John Cena at Raw 1000. Of course, the Big Show cost him, and then the Rock.
Yeah.
And, yeah, blah, blah. 7, Sheamus, Survivor Series 2015. That shot of Roman Reigns looking sad amongst all the confetti. 6, Randy Orton at SummerSlam. 5, Brock Lesnar with the Brock Party briefcase. 4, brilliant, Alberto Del Rio at SummerSlam. 3, Jack Swagger. 2, Damian Sandow. 1, Baron Corbin. And speaking of Damian Sandow, by the way, you can't use your Money in the Bank briefcase on this one because there's only 2 options already. But speaking of Damian Sandow, John Cena beat Damian Sandow with one arm. Which was Cena's bad arm, though? Was it his left or his right?
Oh, I don't know. I don't even think I remember seeing this.
Phil, left.
It was his left arm. It was already slightly damaged. Then Sandow beat him up and like twatted him with a briefcase and used a chair on it. And then, yeah, John Cena just beat him. Thanks for that, Damien. Right, 4 questions to go. 2 each. Both of you still got your Money in the Bank briefcase. Okay. Next question.
I'm definitely not going to end up using this briefcase. I'd already forgotten about it, to be honest.
Question 7. Which of these people didn't Dolph Ziggler defend his Money in the Bank briefcase against? Chris Jericho, CM Punk, or John Cena?
I don't know this.
But
I'm going to guess. Nicholas, I'm going to guess. CM Punk.
It was CM Punk.
Oh, just pulling on my hat straight over there.
He defended against Jericho in a, I think, career versus contract match. And then obviously Cena, I think that was in and around the time Cena dropped poo on him. Yes. Defenses of the briefcase. Not as bad as Otis's, obviously. That was just heartbreaking. But at least they got a good storyline with Tucker.
Yeah.
Question 8. 3-2. How many Money in the Bank matches has Kofi Kingston competed in without winning? 5, 6, 7, or 8?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Phil.
There you go.
Do you want to use your briefcase?
Yes. Why not? Let's use the briefcase.
Okay. Computer, please take away 2 wrong answers, leaving one.
There.
Okay, Phil, the computer, the very sophisticated, expensive new What Culture computer, has taken away 1 right answer and 1 wrong. No, 2 wrong answers to leave you with this. So if you get it wrong, the point will automatically go to Nicholas. That's the danger of the Money in the Bank briefcase, as we all know in real life.
Come on, Phil. You got this, Phil.
How many Money in the Bank matches has Kofi Kingston competed in without winning? Is it 5 or 7?
Ooh. Oh, you tease. Look at him. He hasn't even done side by side.
All right. Cheeky. I'm going to go with 7. I had 7 in my head, but I had no
good idea.
So go with 7.
I think you're onto a winner.
He has been there a long time.
You have hit the school crushing finale. 1, 2, 3. Correct, Phil Chambers.
Yeah.
7 matches he's competed without winning. Same as Kane, but at least Kane won one, I suppose. Okay. 3 each. 2 questions to go.
I tell you what, it's impressive having the same as Kane with anything in WWE, I think. Yeah. That's pretty good.
Okay, question 9. Which, I'm going to use the legend, did we see first in last year's Money in the Bank match? Was it Doink the Clown,
Lord of
Love, Stephanie McMahon, or Vince McMahon? Phil, do you remember our Money in the
Nicholas.
Bank?
Nicholas.
Oh, Nicholas, are you going to use your briefcase?
No, hang on. I feel like you've just done Phil a kipper there. Ask him a question right before he had a chance to... Quizmaster's had a mare, yeah. Now I'm in a situation, aren't I? Because, you know... do I just throw this? No. I'll go with my answer instead.
You don't need your briefcase?
Well, I mean, for the people at home... I would have still had it at the end of this quiz, so let's go.
Computer, please take away 2 wrong answers. To leave 1 correct answer. I like this gimmick. I might keep it. Go forward. Okay. Adam and Nicholas, which legend did we see first in last year's Money in the Bank match? Was it, I mean, Not really Doink the Clown, but Doink the Clown or Brother Love?
Oh, you swine. Those are the two I was picking between. Because remember that really terrible Stephanie one where she was clearly at home?
Yep. Dana, that's the wrong briefcase.
Hey, look at me in this next shot. Right. Now,
I will say, as you're deciding here, I haven't gone back and watched it because I didn't want to put myself through the torture of it. So I should say, which legend gets mentioned first in Wikipedia's write-up of the Money in the Bank ladder?
What's the score at the minute? So in theory, if I get this wrong, are we going to a tie?
3-all. So if you get it wrong, the point will go to Phil, but there's still one question
right
left.
That'll make it quite interesting, won't it? So
yep.
Either way, this is interesting because it becomes 4-3. All right. Okay, so I'm not too worried now. I will say then, I'll go with what was originally in my head, which I'm now starting to doubt. I'll go with Doink the Clown, please. Or whatever that thing was that was definitely wasn't Doink the Clown.
Adam Nicholas goes for his finisher, but Jinder Mahal reverses it and pins him. It was, in fact, according to Wikipedia, released Brother Love, I Love You, with Rey Mysterio walking out of a toilet or something. I've tried to forget it, if I'm honest, Phil. That was it was a weird time.
Yeah, it's there. It was.
Oh, that's right. You two watched it live, didn't you?
Yeah.
That was the thing.
I mean, I'll tell you what, I'll say this, Phil. It's a short pay-per-view, so I like
really
that.
Really short pay-per-view. I loved it.
Right, final question. 4-3 to Phil Chambers as a result of that. And my favourite question on this week's quiz, I will give you options for this, by the way. What is the most popular month for cash-ins?
I honestly thought this was going to be an unrelated question.
Is it June, July, August, or October?
This really is a shot in the dark, isn't it?
Mm.
Only a fool would go first. who was behind on the point? And yes. What was my options again?
June, July, August, or October.
Right. Trying to reverse engineer this the way you've constructed this.
I'll just watch you both waiting for each other to blink. I'll remind everyone that we are doing a Money in the Bank live stream on Sunday night on YouTube. Join myself and Phil Chambers live from What Culture Towers for that one. I can't wait. You think I haven't done impressions for a while on these live streams or done any loud voices? Yeah, we're getting kicked out of that building, even though we sodding own it when I'm finished on Sunday night.
Phil, why not?
Phil, June, July, August, or October?
Wow. See, I was trying to think of like long reigns and then like maybe June. Yeah. It had all gone round and Money in the Bank wasn't always in July, was it? It was a bit later on in the year. So that would kind of work out. But then before you like said the answers, I had like SummerSlam in my head. But I don't know if that's like too short a time. I don't know. Was Money in the Bank after SummerSlam? So I'm going to stick. But then you've thrown in the October one, which is... What happened to September? So I'm going to stick with around SummerSlam only because I was at one SummerSlam and Alberto Del Rio cashed in. So I'm going to go with August.
The best month of the year officially, but not the most popular month for cash-in.
Oh, sugar. So what we got left then? We got July and June.
June, July, or October.
Well, you see, I'm trying to think if you've become so smart that you would put October in there as a double bluff, because leaving out September draws attention to October, which is what he wanted. But then does he know that we're going to know that? Because he's realised he's
I've been spending my 2 weeks going to psychology classes.
That's it. Really studying game theory. And
really studying it. Like, he has become intelligent. He's beginning
he took
to
2 weeks
believe.
Off. Just so clear he could never do this to me again.
I'll phone a friend and get Adam Cleary to come in here. All right.
I can tell you there have been 3 August cash-ins, 2 of which were successful. The other one was Baron Corbin getting rolled up by Jinder Mahal. And yes, it was.
Well, I'm going to go with what I thought Phil was going to go with. And then be really mad when you have outdone us both with October. I'm going to say July, please.
Well, I can tell you that October did have a cash-in, but it was an unsuccessful one. I think I'm very certain October, the only cash-in in October was Damian Sandow, who failed miserably to win the World Heavyweight Championship.
We're on to you.
So October was, we were right then, you were just...
That was just in there. Yeah. I think fairly certain
October 2 weeks of game theory.
It's just too predictable, isn't it? Yeah. Heartbreak for you. We've already won, basically, first one.
October, I think, is therefore the worst month to cash in, because there's only been one cash in, it was crap. I can tell you, the most popular month for cash-ins is... June. June. It's June.
Oh, the wound. The wound.
My first guess was right.
I've only just gotten over the heartbreak of England, man. Don't be doing this to me. Just like, just give it to me straight. Not just teasing me along.
Five, if I'm not mistaken, five cash-ins in June. Compared to three in July, as he's trying to rapidly do these maths. Yeah. Alexa Bliss cashed in 2018 in June. Brock cashed in July, of course, Extreme Rules. We had Dean Ambrose cashing in at Money in the Bank, of course, in June of 2016. We had John Cena failing to cash in at Raw 1000 in July. We had Kane successfully cashing in July in Money in the Bank. But then early on, it was all about June. Rob Van Dam in June of 2006. CM Punk in June of 2008 on Monday Night Raw. And CM Punk again in June of 2009, Extreme Rules. It was June. So I can tell you that Phil Chambers is the winner of the Big Money in the Bank quiz, which means you get to do the live stream with me on Sunday night.
Yay! Yo, Adrian, we did it.
Right, let us know how you got on the quiz. Let us know how you're feeling ahead of Money in the Bank. Just let us know how you're feeling. At What Culture, WWE. Watch there, you can follow all three of us. You can follow Phil Chambers at
Phil My Chambers. And you can follow Adam Nicholas at
It's Adam Nicholas, and he has hope. And boys, it's not a five-hour pay-per-view. That would be a real shame, wouldn't it? And you can follow Adam Wilborn at
Don't do this, Nicholas. Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all.
I'm already annoyed enough that WWE has for some reason moved their pay-per-views back to 8 p.m. Eastern, which puts it back to 1 a.m. start for us. And I've got a feeling AEW is ruining everything about little
sneak peek at What Culture Towers. Phil Chambers went, it's on at 8 p.m. Is this AEW's fault?
God damn it, you bastards.
Thanks, sweet TK. You've ruined everything. Follow us all at What Culture W, as I said, and make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcast from, for a daily wrestling podcast. Tomorrow, the extended preview of Money in the Bank, aside from a bit of me talking about Sonya Deville potentially winning it with myself and Michael Hamlet. Sunday, me and Michael Sidgwick chatting all about AEW potentially surpassing WWE. And if you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, you will be notified when our Money in the Bank review with myself and a very quiet Michael Hamlet, because he's going to be at home. I'm going to be screaming the fucking office down Sunday night, Monday morning, more than likely. Our review of that will be out by the time you wake up, probably on Monday. So subscribe to What Culture Wrestling for that. But this has been Wrestle Culture. Great to have the gang back together. My thanks to Phil Chambers, to Adam Nicholas, to you for joining us. Enjoy Money in the Bank, and we will see you soon.
Wrestling.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.